On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, brought to you by our good friends at Wells Media, which includes Carrier Management Insurance Journal and other fine publications. Our guest today is Jeff Crager, the Chief Commercial Officer for Insuron. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. I'm glad we have a chance to catch up. It's been a while. For those who don't know Jeff, you've worked at a number of insurance companies, the Hartford, CNA, in the commercial space. How long have you been with Insuron, by the way?
I've been with Insuron now for just over 2 years.
Okay. And of course, it's insure like insureon.com. Can you talk a little bit about, Jeff, how you got to there from working in the, shall we say, traditional insurance space?
Sure. Yeah, I spent the overwhelming majority of my career at the Hartford in small commercial, obviously a leader in that space. A small stint of time at CNA Local in Chicago before rejoining the Hartford in late 2016. The last role that I had with the Hartford was in the small commercial space, representing national partners, programs, and then most importantly, the InsurTech side of the house, which really opened my eyes to where I thought so much would be going, or at least splitting in some capacity from distribution within the industry, and had the opportunity to work directly with previous Insurion leadership, developed a strong bond with the team, and was brought on really to take the firm to the next level in its journey. Right? Insurion is not a new InsurTech firm. It was the first in terms of distribution in the space in late 2018, early 19. Really, the task was to then continue to see the growth of the operation in a profitable way. Local to Chicago, I took the opportunity.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Insurion then, what the model is and maybe how it's evolved a little bit.
Yeah, I think Insurion is a very interesting story, right? We're sitting here in early 2021. Insurion itself, formerly techinsurance.com, started in the late 90s with the online boom, where one of our current board members and our founder actually started the operation working with all technology risks online, custom programmers, systems integrators, et cetera. In 2012, there was a change in ownership structure, which new leadership and ownership came on to then again grow the business outside of just the traditional technology space, but into all business classes and online channel, where there's a very large gap and actually remains a gap from a purchasing perspective for small business owners. So again, that's 2012. We're coming up on 10 years in this new structure as Insurion. The firm grew at a very rapid rate in the mid-2010s into the late, and is continuing to do so, but in a couple two-pronged approach, one being the online model, right, insurion.com. Small business owners come and get their insurance in an e-commerce model where we have licensed agents that fulfill those requests to the tune of, you know, over 100,000 clients that we have. The second is we license our technology now to other insurance agents and brokers in a SaaS model. To use our comparative rating technology in-house to make those agencies more efficient. So that's been the second wave of growth from the firm.
So it's direct to business owner and then via independent agent and then the platform to carriers, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we still, we're a top 70 brokerage in the country right now, just based on our own premium size, with our average policy being about $1,400 in the space, which is all direct to consumer. We're very proud of that. We are an actual insurance agency. We just happen to be enabled by technology and get the overwhelming majority of our leads from the net and what we do through search engine marketing and SEO. And then yes, we have an emerging revenue stream and operation and really an opportunity, we think, to enable another side of distribution for all carriers and for agencies with the SaaS product.
You mentioned the gap, the business owner coverage gap. Is that what you were describing?
Yeah, I would say there's still a gap in terms of the amount of viable and longstanding digital agencies. to fulfill all of the needs of small business owners who do want to purchase online. We're starting to see more and more emerge along with direct to consumer models from predominantly carriers, right? But there's still an overwhelming amount of insureds who'd like to get their insurance online. And our goal is to try to obviously grow to fulfill all those needs, but there's still, a gap there.
Yeah. What do you think? What is the reason for that, you think? The industry is just slow to respond to the need, or?
I think it's a delicate balance, right? When Insurion was really emerging in, call it 2014, 15, there was this sense in the industry that every single small business account was going to go online, like personal lines. Agents would be, small agents would turn into travel agencies of the past. And that did not happen. So in the wake of that, though, you had a number of carriers and other opportunistic firms who set out to capitalize on that, and they've done a good job. But there's just been a gap from the others who chose not to do so and held on to the traditional distribution models, right? So as not to have any channel conflict, et cetera. There's also the notion of just appetite overall, right? Carriers take risk, whether it's direct or through an agent or broker online, and not all that's online is vanilla. And so there's just pockets.
Mm. How do you think the small business owner has changed? And where are you seeing the most interest in this? Because I'm just curious, because it seems like there's been such an evolution and growth of small business in the U.S., insurance aside, just the very fact is the economy is the engine is small business. Like 99% of people are employed in small businesses. And are you seeing a shift in the kind of customer that's buying and where you might see growth in the future?
I would say yes and no, right? So if we look at it, small business in America is about $100 billion market opportunity in the world of insurance, 30 million small businesses. And the key thing that we focus on in insurance is about 40% of those businesses are either sole props, independent contractors, standard gig economy workers. So that is a definite shift in the buyer. And then you have to figure where are they two things. Why are they buying the insurance? And then where are they purchasing? So much of what we see is contract, right? Contractually required insurance, certificate needs, et cetera. But we are starting to see, so that's kind of the no, right? Like that's what we've seen. Our book, we could go into that in terms of what our book is made up of, is very distinct. Let's say through 2020, right? Unfortunately, we have seen a rise in who's actually coming online, and for a number of reasons that maybe are only temporary, right? With what we've dealt with the pandemic, but we've definitely seen average account sizes go up. We've seen values go up in terms of revenue or employee count. And that could either be a signal of a very episodic piece of the time that we're in, or it could be the start of that shift. I think it'll probably end up somewhere in between. But, by our research, in terms of what we've actually been relying on good firms for this, the market size for online sales and small business, really was around $2.7 billion last year. And there's a sense that it could grow to $12 billion by the end of 25.
You mean the number of small businesses?
The number of small businesses that will want to purchase online could grow that significantly.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on there? Is it just the owners are a little bit more used to shopping online, just in general, generational shift maybe, or are they some kind of disconnect with the quote unquote local independent agent?
I don't think so. Number one, I don't think there's a total disconnect from the local agent. Again, we totally respect that model. We like to think that we are one. We just acquire customers differently. In terms of the trusted advisor nature of what an independent agent broker or does, right? So if you go up market, even small, $10 million, in our book, you'd be hard pressed to find accounts currently that have over $500K in revenue. What we expect is that that will move up as far as who actually owns a business that's at a million, 2 million, three, who is becoming increasingly more comfortable transacting and getting their, you know, advice and insurance ultimately digitally versus needing to have the physical presence of that agent. And I don't think that's anything to do with the agent as it is to do, again, as you mentioned, some level of generation, some level of just more and more tech enablement and a reliance on that. And then the piece that I mentioned before with sole props, independent contractors, and the gig economy, our economy itself is changing in terms of how people actually earn their living and go about doing that. We have 40% of the workforce says they do it by themselves. That's a drastic shift from what we would have seen before.
So if that's true, then how does insurance need to evolve? Because the policies have been pretty much the same forever in many lines of business. And, you know, does a BOP policy work for a gig worker, for example?
That's also a great question. I think a lot of forward-thinking carriers are doing that right now. Obviously, we're thinking through that, but we represent carriers and their product sets. And you see in the marketplace temporary insurance coverages, right? You've got somebody who's a photographer rather than having a year-long, even GL, God forbid, a BOP policy. They might want something that's just for the wedding or the event that they're doing. And then, you know, they don't lapse in coverage. They just wait to buy another, a more project-based policy. That certainly is forward thinking. It is in the marketplace today. And I think a lot of folks are waiting to see what might happen there. I think the more traditional upmarket is fine. I think carriers are way ahead of everything in terms of their coverages, at least the top carriers in the industry and what they represent. You mentioned a BOP policy, which probably has the greatest likelihood for change drastic change. And you see some of the large nationals have already done that, where they have more modular BOP products, where the additional coverages are more a la carte to add to base policies versus a suite of endorsements that are just wrapped up around a BOP policy that you buy in total. So that the price is probably a little bit more attractive to the insured, and they're getting, like anything, they're getting, you know, I want shoes that are the color I want, and they are getting a policy that fits them exactly to their needs. And so I will stress, I think a lot of that work, if it's not already in market, is certainly on its way.
So if what you said about being an independent agent, just acquiring your business in a different way, what happens? Obviously you have multiple companies. How many carriers can small business owner compare with on your platform? It might depend on the product line, but.
Yeah, I would say that that's something we've shifted more recently. In the past, it was, you know, to get as many markets as possible, to show as many quotes as possible. And there's a lot of assumptions behind that. We have real-time connectivity with over 30 markets. Do we show 30 markets? No. We show ultimately what we believe to be the best markets, whether it's one market, two, three, to an insured at any one time, based on a number of different factors for that insured. But, you know, we can flex that up or down whenever we see fit.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think in the research I've seen that consumers want 30 choices. They first of all, it's nice to know that the people looking out for them, the independent agent, is actually doing that work, but presenting the most realistic, the best options in price and coverage to the consumer. And that shopping experience, when the consumer sees they see the value of it once they understand it, you know, it just has to be explained better by most agents to people.
Right. Well, there's a couple things that are definitely at work. When you get outside of that contractually required GL policy, which is honestly just, I need this because someone told me, right? That's a hard sale when you want to sell value. But we are, no matter the fact that we are a digital agent, you know, we have digital sales agents and digital account managers on the back end that consult upon new business placement and at renewal. And that's something we actually do. the propensity for insureds, once you get outside of contractually required policies, that want to buy without consultation is very small, mm-hmm. right? So they still see the need for the consultative nature and approach of the agent. They just want to access the policy online versus in person, right? I hate to oversimplify that, but it still exists.
Yeah. So once you have them as a customer, what happens down the road with these folks? Are you proactively reaching out outside the renewal? Like, how do you interact with them?
I think it's a case by case basis in terms of how we segment our book. That work is really only about 2 years old. I'd like to think that we are not alone in that in terms of segmenting our book as an insurance agency. But the touch points are critical to the extent that they provide value, right? We don't need to send birthday emails. We don't need to send trivial things that get caught up. These are small business owners. We're extremely busy. And so we want to always interact with them when it does provide value. And we find one of the best ways to do that is to put them in as much direct contact as we can with carriers who we work with, who have digital service capabilities that touch them at the right time and allow them to really transact and modify their policy or get service the same way that they acquired the policy, which is online, right? The one thing I bring up all the time to our team when we look at carriers for placement is if we have a landscaper who does snow plow and it's 1 o'clock in the morning and it's snowing unexpectedly and that individual needs to produce a cert, we're not open and we're not going to be. But a lot of our carriers have enabled digital service centers that are. And we look to partner with those carriers and not necessarily recreate it ourselves, where we think we get better value with the larger companies that have capabilities.
So in that sense, then Insurion's more of a sales organization and the carrier side are on the service piece.
I would say we are, again, let me clarify that, with our book of business, depending on how it's segmented. So we want to make sure that we always give somebody a digital experience when possible for the reason I just mentioned. But we also have a number of customers who have policies across a number of carriers where that is not an option. And we treat those customers differently. We don't do it just by premium base, right? You have a lot of premium tied up with us, so now we'll treat you better. That's not under consideration. It's just making sure that the customer experience is best where it can be and that all the economics work out well for all parties.
Okay. So I think you started to talk about this with the impact of the pandemic. So this has been going on for about 12 months now. What have you seen, in terms of trends that may or may not be permanent? You said landing somewhere in the middle. Like what have you seen impact on first on the consumer side, the small business side, but maybe also on the insurance side?
Yeah, it definitely was, very different. We built the model which about as unscientific as probably even the most scientific and sophisticated companies possible in late March of last year, right? Where we actually were projecting like some level of rebound back up to budget or at least, prior year in the fourth quarter. Largely that did happen. It didn't follow our, wild guesses as far as the months that would happen. But, I think everybody experienced April, May, as far as a significant dip, the rebound occurring in June, July, and then a sort of leveling off throughout the end of the year. We ourselves finished in single digits behind prior year in terms of premium and very close to our growth number. The reason we think that happened from a pure insurance agency standpoint is we're not in the middle market. Mm-hmm. Obviously, middle market is great business for agents and just great business overall for the American economy. But nevertheless, we're in the micro space. And so we got a lot directed to us. If you were going to go find a new policy, you legitimately couldn't go out and find it. You had to go digital. Our average written premium, as I mentioned, has continued to rise, and it did almost immediately in light of that. We did see a couple other things early on. We saw a lot of purchasing behavior that was delayed right? So if you may or may not have had a contract, you sat on it, even though you had a quote ultimately that followed up. And we did see a very large increase in the amount of new business formed that then came to us as far as new policies, right? So folks entering our application, putting how many years in business, zero, that grew to about 50% of our new business last year.
Okay. Yeah, it's just that shift from, you know, W-2, you know, going to the office every day, worker who was under the working for the man, that shift to 1099, a lot of them, and doing their own thing, or multiple things, even like multiple gigs. That's just the way it's headed. And the worker, whether they're 1099 or W-2, I think are more in control than ever before. It's really an interesting time, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I think, you know, historically, our book has had a lot of new business formation in it, which is good. We kind of like to hang our hat on that we're insuring folks who are starting new businesses. But we do expect that all of those that did form will continue to come back, whether it's new deals or otherwise. And we just feel that the digital presence will continue to become more increasingly important. Like I said, it won't go back to 2014-15 when the industry was worried that all small business would migrate overnight online. But we do think that this will be somewhat of a catalyst towards further migration online.
Yeah, they say that crises can spur along trends that were happening anyway, kind of accelerate them. So you could make the point that digital marketing, digital service are just got accelerated last year. I mean, if you're an independent, local independent agent and your staff's working at home, suddenly you're not able to print policies. You know, you've got to have an e-signature, for example. Right. So, interesting time. If you think about it, Jeff, and this may seem like an odd question I'm asking you this, but is there space in the insurance industry and our economy for multiple insurions, or is your plan to take over the world?
Well, I wouldn't say that. you know, obviously, we would like to grow our business exponentially every year in a very smart way, in a profitable way. As I mentioned at the top, I still feel like, you know, like all good businesses, you know, we want good competition too. And you really want to make sure that the small business owners who are coming this way are being fulfilled, whether it's through us or others. And there's definitely capacity for others to be involved. But no, in a perfect world, yes, we'd write every client that came to us, and everyone that ever hit the internet would be booked by insurance.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, last question. I know you're involved with the Insurance Industry Charitable Foundation. Can you tell us a little bit about the work that the foundation is doing right now, and why you're involved yourself?
Sure. Yeah, no, happy to. Very passionate about it. So the IICF is really the largest foundation in the industry, supported by every major insurer and many of the larger brokers and otherwise that you'd see in the industry. From the headquarters that we have out east, we have four divisions throughout the country: Midwest, Northeast, in the Southwest, and then out west. I'm actually involved. I started as just a stand-in when I was working out of Connecticut for the Hartford. Our local regional vice president was a part of the Midwest, and I just had interest in doing something for the community, but also in the name of insurance. I'll always be in insurance my whole career. Don't plan to step out of it. I'm proud of it. Mm-hmm. And this is the best way, I think, to get our collective name into the industry, or into the environment, I should say, and in a good way, right? So we focus on education, really, safety and health for those less fortunate in communities and otherwise. And, you know, folks a lot of times think of insurance in this potentially negative light, or kind of need to have peace. And that's really not the case. And the more that we can be collaborative in philanthropic efforts, I think the better. So that's why I'm involved.
Well, great, Jeff. Listen, I want to thank you for taking some time to talk with us today. And listen, good luck to coming out of this pandemic and with your business and personally.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I really do respect the fact that you had us on, and good conversation.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.